We are continuing our series about lost, being lost in the times that we feel lost in life. And today specifically, we're going to talk about I messed up. The moments in life that we feel lost after a mistake. And every person makes mistakes. We know that. But we often feel completely lost once we realize what we've done. When you have the gravity of that mistake hits you, it makes you feel completely lost of what you're supposed to do now. And while some mistakes have greater consequences than others, the feelings of shame, self-doubt, things like that are pretty consistent regardless of how big the mistake was. Rediscovering your purpose after and your value after messing up is critical to finding yourself again in these lost moments. Today, we're going to talk about the story of Jonah and how he was lost after he made a big mistake. We're going to learn the power of self-realization in regard to our shortcomings, and we're going to unpack God's heart in our moments of reflection and humility. At the end, we're going to examine how to find our way back to our purpose from after making a mistake. The reason that this is so important to talk about is because so many people get completely lost after these moments of mistakes. And they often erase their entire calling, their value, before even getting a chance before others even get a chance to pour out guilt or shame. It leads us to give up and believe that these situations are irreparable. And we all get lost sometimes after a mistake, but the point of today's message is that we don't have to stay lost, that there's redemption through Jesus Christ. So to start us off, we're going to talk about how this is all my fault. You ever have a moment like that? This is all my fault. The greatest mistake is a failure to recognize your mistakes. The greatest mistake is a failure to recognize your mistakes. Mess up in some way or another, there are certain mistakes that can change the trajectory of our lives and even for the lives of those around us. When we deflect responsibility, when in those moments, we often cause those storms of consequences to linger and wreak havoc longer. But coming to your senses and humbling yourself by admitting that you were wrong is the first step to finding that redemption and to find that clarity during the storm from a mistake. For Jonah, I'm going to hop and skip around his story. I was originally going to just read all of Jonah, but I thought, well, you know, I'll just slow down a little bit. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, because their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and boarded it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. So, self-explanatory, but what we're seeing is Jonah gets this calling to do something, and he completely goes the opposite direction of where he was told to go. And this is him trying to avoid what God's calling on his life is. And the reason that this story is so peculiar is because we all have these moments where we avoid God's calling in our lives. Where we run from these purposes, or even like the smallest things. Maybe it's even the unction to pray for somebody at work, and you start making all these reasons of why that's inappropriate, and you can't do that because of X, Y, or Z. And we run away from even these little moments. But for Jonah, this is a pretty big calling to where he is very clear what he's supposed to do, and he does the exact opposite. And the story goes, jumping down to verse 4 through 6. However, the Lord, improper sentence there. Let me recommend that to not just let autocorrect wreak havoc if you're copying scripture, because stuff like this happens, okay? And I want you to know that this is just technology trying to destroy our service, trying to destroy the message of God, and it's not my fault. I did not make a mistake. Get the irony? The point is about admitting that you made a mistake. It's ironic. All right. It's okay. You'll get it later and then you'll think it's funny. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea and there was a great storm on the sea so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid and every man cried out to his God and they hurled the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the stern of the ship and had laid down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And it's in this moment that Jonah, he tells them, "This is all my fault. It's because God told me to do this and he's sent this storm because I didn't listen." And it goes on to say, jumping down to I just want to make sure that I'm reading the right ones. "And he said to them, 'Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, because I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you.' So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men became extremely afraid of the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord designated a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights." Now, we'll pause here. I want us to unpack a couple things about this part of the story. One, Jonah recognizes his mistake and sees the consequences affecting the people around him. Now, all of these people are in fear of their lives for the potential of death, drowning in the middle of the ocean because of this storm. And Jonah realizes, "This is all my fault." And his response to recognizing that this is his fault from the consequences of his mistake, he says, "Throw me off of this boat." It does not say in Scripture that God told him to be thrown into the sea. When I read this, after reading it a couple times, what I see is Jonah going about the process of guilt in the same way that we often do. And that is just completely that self-destruction and that guilt from that guilt. And he's really asking them to pretty much give him an assisted suicide. He could have just jumped out into the boat, said, "This is all my fault," and run in, jumped out. But it's just a little too much for him, and so said, "Y'all throw me out. This, it will stop if y'all just throw me out." He didn't tell them, "Turn the boat to Nineveh. If we change directions, the storm will stop." That was an option. But he says, "This is all my fault. I shouldn't even be here. I just ruin everything." You ever think like that after your mistake? I'm just ruin everything. I'm going to just leave. How many times do we try to just completely leave the situation where our mistake is because we feel like the consequences are too much and we end up becoming more dramatic? And instead of having this clear head about finding the solution, we make these absolute, sometimes ridiculous beliefs about ourselves. "I just ruin everything. It's better that I was never even born. No one should even know me because I just ruin everything." That's the way Jonah is responding. You know, it's as dramatic as it seems. I feel like we do this so often. A lie that I used to believe about myself is that I'm a destroyer, that I just destroy things. And that if you're with me long enough, I'm going to just destroy it because that's just my nature. It's like my curse. And I believed that for years until I had to have a real strong prayer moment and realizing that this is a lie that I believed about myself. And every time something, a normal mistake would happen, or if I do something wrong, I would go back to, "Well, that's just because I'm a destroyer." And see, we have these labels about ourselves to where we try to confirm these made up curses about our nature, about ourselves. Not true. And the reality is I'm not a destroyer. I like to build things up. See, the opposite of those lies are often true. You're cursed to be alone, but God's promise for you is to be in community, to be loved. Y'all dig what I'm saying? And the deflection of Jonah is so consistent, because while everyone is dealing with this storm, he goes to sleep down in the boat. And while everyone else is dealing with it, he's trying to avoid it by sleeping through it. I've gone through depression. A lot of us have gone through depression. What's the number one thing that we do when we're depressed? You sleep. We just want to sleep. It's so difficult to even get out of bed because you feel like there's this mountain of feelings or not feelings on your chest where you don't even want to get out of bed. Maybe it's that mountain of shame. Maybe it's a mountain of anger. Whatever it is, you have this mountain that feels like it seems impossible for you to get out of bed. And it'd be just easier if I just slept longer. You're not tired, but you just want to sleep longer because you don't want to experience the feelings that come while being awake during the day. So let's just go sleep in the boat. But the storm is still going on around us. And in the same way that he tries to run away from it there, he runs away from practical solutions by saying, just get rid of me. I'm going to just leave. I'm going to just go get some milk real quick. I'll be back. He's saying, that was a dad joke. I'm going to go get some milk. Okay. that was a little too far. See, y'all didn't like that one. But action, you're better off without me. And he gets this assisted suicide. But as he was sinking down into the waters, God, in his mercy and compassion, didn't let Jonah run away from his life. He didn't let him run away from his calling. He didn't let him run away from this purpose. And he didn't let him run away from life itself. And he sent this big fish to rescue him. See, the fish was God's response to Jonah's self-destruction. Isn't that ironic? That it's almost like we almost have it backwards. But to know that the fish was his salvation. And even what's really unique about this is that even in Jonah's mistakes, all of the men on the boat end up giving their life to God. They abandon all their pagan rituals. And I'm talking about like the paganism of that time was like their way to worship was sex orgies. And now they're saying, we're going to follow the holy God now. That, like, that's a true conversion. They had this complete change of heart as they follow the one true God in the midst of Jonah making this incredible mistake. And so often we think, I made a mistake, God can't use me now. Even in his mistakes, even in his self-destruction, God was able to use him as a vessel. Understand that even in his mistakes, it's for us to pull from this, that Jonah is not the only one that made a mistake. All of us make mistakes. There's not one person exempt, but for us to recognize it instead of running from it and pretending that we're supposed to be perfect and disqualifying ourselves of not being worthy enough of God's love, not being worthy enough of God's purpose or calling, for us to just throw all those lies out and recognize that maybe we're being a little melodramatic and that we can do some practical things to simply get back up. See, because the next point is simply God still hears me. God is still faithful even when we are unfaithful. For Jonah, it's ironic, just like I said, that the places that Jonah found salvation was in the belly of the fish, right? It's ironic that sometimes the places that save us were also the places that we were once initially afraid of. When you consider the moments of great lack, you ever been that broke where you're selling couches to pay for the church rent? I mean, your electricity. Sorry, that was supposed to be just an analogy, not personal. See, the moments of great lack teach you how to become grateful. The moments of intense silence often gives the best moments of clarity. The moments close to death make us appreciate life. And it's in these kinds of moments the moments of uncomfortability that God often uses to show us a path of change, a path of repentance that leads us to a type of redemption from our mistakes. For Jonah, look at this, this cry of his heart. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, the whole chapter is a prayer from Jonah. It's just him pouring out his heart. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish. I want to also note that it does not say whale, okay? Could it have been a whale? Maybe. But that's presumptuous. It says fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I called for help from the depths of Sheol, and he heard my voice. And it goes down... I can read his whole prayer, but near the bottom it says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. Now, if we could pause here in these scriptures, his heart saying, notice that it says, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I called for help from the depths of Sheol, and you heard my voice. For Jonah, it's describing what it was like for him as he was sinking in the ocean. It wasn't like it's showing that the fish wasn't just right there with his mouth wide open as they threw Jonah overboard, but that he experienced a near-death moment as he began to drown. And he's describing how seaweed wrapped around his head. He's saying, I cried out to you from the bottom of Sheol. He's saying like the pit of hell. I'm sinking down to hell, and I cried out to you, and you heard my cry. And he's recognizing that in his moments of drowning, this fish saved his life. And he's expressing this gratitude and this gratefulness from the belly of the fish. And he's realizing that he does not want to take the weight of the pretend curse he put on himself. That everyone's better off without me. Throw me overboard. He realized that he didn't really want that in his moment of emotional decision-making. How many times have we audibly said something that we didn't really mean? Think about it. The last fight you had with your spouse, the last argument that you had with somebody that you cared about, said, maybe you should just leave. Everything in your heart doesn't want that, but you say it out of that emotional decision making, right? And that's Jonah in this moment of clarity. He's saying, I know that I don't really want that. The moment's near death, when it's right about to happen, he says, I know that I really don't want that. And as we hear Jonah in his prayer, he's lamenting of his mistakes. He's realizing that so much of what he thought that he wanted was wrong. And in his heart, his stubbornness turned into gratefulness when God still reached out to him, even though he had pushed God away. And it amplifies God's mercy, God's grace, when it's shown to extend to us even in the midst of our running. He never stops loving us. He never stops listening to us. He never stops searching for us even when we've lost ourselves. He doesn't stop pursuing us. And in this moment for Jonah, he has this genuine, remorseful heart. And that last passage he says, I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving, and that which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. What he's saying is, I'm going to do it. I recognize. And he has this moment of repentance saying, I'm going to turn back to you, Lord. And he has this genuine, remorseful, and repentant heart. And then the fish throws him up on some beach. And I think that in this moment, for us to recognize, maybe we're still in that belly of the fish, and we're considering where we're at. We're considering the repercussions of our actions. Or maybe we're right about to get vomited out. Maybe you just got vomited out. Maybe you just got swallowed by the fish. And we're in that moment of reflection and that stubborn heart turning into a genuine heart. I think that that's what happens, the most significant thing that happens for Jonah and the fish is that his stubborn heart turns into a genuine heart. And now we go to our last point, which is I can get back up. God doesn't break his covenant with you so easily. See, one of the biggest things that we struggle with after a mistake is the feeling like we've not only lost ourselves, but that we've lost our purpose or our in the process. And most of the time, it's our shame that makes us feel like we no longer deserve what we had, or like we've been disqualified from any kind of dream, that we don't deserve it now because of our mistakes. And while some of those consequences do certainly affect our lives in practical ways, God's path of redemption is still stronger than our greatest mess up moments. And he doesn't just abandon us in the worst moments of our lives, but he provides a way for his grace to work through our weaknesses, for his grace to work through our mistakes. For Jonah, consider, he is blatantly disobeyed what God had told him to do. Now look, I have kids, and they go through different like seasons and regressions in life, to where there's sometimes like my oldest feels, I'm like, she's the most obedient little kid. Like she wants my affirmation. She's like, yes, sir. And I'm like, wow, what an angel. And then like a couple months later, I was like, you will listen to me right now. How, who do you think you are? I'm going to take all your toys away. They're not your toys. They're my toys. I let you play with them. Sorry, I'm getting too personal again. But to consider, in this moment where God told Jonah to do something and he does the very opposite, as a parent, I can tell you that that is very aggravating. As if you've ever been in a place of management or leadership, to where maybe you've asked a coworker or a leader, a volunteer, to do something, if they do the opposite, well, that's very aggravating. For Jonah, he does the very opposite of what God has told him to do. And as aggravating I would imagine that to be, God still has that calling for him. If it was a normal job, you're fired. If it's one of our jobs, here's a whooping. I don't know. Just, I don't know. Whatever feels right in the moment. But it's this idea that these extreme consequences and no longer having the option of getting what you wanted or getting that purpose. But for Jonah, consider that this moment for him, he has this calling still available to him. That he has this mission that was not erased, but it is still there. And as we read in chapter 3, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you.' So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown." I said I wasn't going to make y'all read the whole chapter. Y'all can read it on yourselves. So Jonah proclaims this judgment, and all of the people of Nineveh end up repenting, and to where not only are they remorseful, but they start fasting and praying. They even made the animals of the city fast. Like they're really, like I've never made my dog fast with me. I've never thought about it. Like maybe we ran out of dog food. It was like a forced fast, but I've never even considered the spiritual implications of having my pets or animals fast with me. But that is how adamant the people of Nineveh were, to where it didn't have to make sense to them. They just had a genuine heart of repentance, to where they were doing some wild stuff. And that's just like a sidestep, to where when you have a genuine pursuit of God, it doesn't always have to make sense. If you just pursue God with a genuine heart, it doesn't even matter if it's like a little weird sometimes. It's about your heart in the matter. Y'all dig what I'm saying? For these people, they end up repenting. God sees their heart, and he turns away the judgment. So we not only see Jonah's mistakes get redeemed, but we see all of Nineveh and their mistakes being forgiven because of the response of their heart, to where God tells Jonah, I'm no longer going to pass judgment on them because of their authentic heart and the change of heart that they experience, their genuine level of remorse and repentance. And so for Jonah, this is his response. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And then he prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my own country? Therefore, and in anticipation of this, I fled to Tarshish. And since I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in mercy, and one who repents of disaster. So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better. So we see Jonah kind of go back into that emotional, dramatic stage. And God says, but the Lord said, do you have a good reason to be angry? I just had like a flashback, and I feel like this was a fight me and Lauren had a while back. Do you have a right to be angry at me? That's funny, guys. That's funny. Then Jonah left the city and sat down east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So Jonah is like this fire and damnation preacher. Just imagine like the most extreme Southern Baptist. Okay, just joking. But that was fun. Okay, that's really what I look for when I share a message. Like people will say like, I gave my life to Christ. That changed my life forever. I'm like, yeah, that's great. And then someone like, that was so fun. I'm like, really? But so thank you. I'll be here all night. So Jonah, he wants to see destruction. He wants to see them burn. He wants to see some crazy stuff happen. And as wrong as it sounds, I'll tell you, being in ministry for 14 years, there's a lot of ministers that want to see some crazy stuff. People want to see supernatural experiences, even if it is at the cost of someone else. And for Jonah, he has, think of this dialogue where he says, I knew you were going to do this. You're so rich in grace and mercy and compassion. Gosh! And it's just, the irony is, we behave in the same way when we get mad during a moment of emotion and mistakes, to where we say ridiculous things. We think in ridiculous ways, to where when we say it out loud, it's almost, you know, sometimes we get into fights with the people that we care about and we don't want to talk. We prefer the cold shoulder or the silent treatment because we don't even know how to really articulate why we're angry. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Think about the last person you were mad at and how you didn't want to talk to them because you didn't really know why you were that angry. You didn't know how to say it, so you just kept silent. Said, I just don't want to talk about it. Because you knew it would sound foolish saying it out loud. This is what we're seeing from Jonah. He's saying it out loud, and it sounds ridiculous. And God's response to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this? Is it right for you to be angry? And this, again, there's a lot of multiple meaning in this text. Because we're talking about Jonah, we're also talking about the people of Nineveh. One aspect is, do you have a right to be angry about these people experiencing the same kind of forgiveness that you got to experience? Oh. Is it right for you to be angry about your ego feeling stained because what you said isn't going to happen now? Is it right for you? See, there's so much things to consider in God's response to him. And to also think that God could have just slam dunked him to hell right then. How dare you? Smite you. Thunder. Boom. Thunderbolt. But instead, his compassion, he continues to extend the same grace to Jonah that Jonah is mad about him extending to others. And it goes on to say, so Jonah went and he goes and sits down, and the story goes that Jonah, while he's sitting down in this kind of like pity party moment, God causes the plant to grow and give Jonah shade. And Jonah starts, he appreciates the plant that gave him shade because it's hot outside. So I imagine it's kind of like what it's going to be like this summer. You know, just 110 degrees and there's no shade and he's just there pissed. Just looking out. Just mad. Just sweating through everything. And then this plant grows and gives him shade and he starts to feel a little better. Like, thank God. Well, thank this plant. And he's just, you know, having his little attitude as he's going about it. And then God causes a worm to attack the plant and for the plant to die. And then Jonah gets pissed again. And then he has this dialogue. He says, because Jonah gets mad and angry about the plant. And God said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have good reason to be angry, even to the point of death. It's just so life or death with this guy. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant, for which you did not work, and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not also have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people, who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left hand, as well as many animals? So God uses this to teach Jonah yet another lesson about compassion, about caring about the people he's called to minister to. And for Jonah, we see this back and forth consistently through his story of making a mistake, feeling remorseful, getting back on track, and then making another mistake. Feeling remorseful, then getting back on track, and then making another mistake. Feeling remorseful, getting back on track. The reason I love this story is that it shows the humanity of people through Jonah and the fact that he makes multiple mistakes in four chapters. Even by the end of the story, it doesn't even give like necessarily a closure. And Jonah realized and he was never made a mistake again. He fixed all of his ways and he stopped saying that he was going to, everything was life or death. And he started to mellow out and he got on some antidepressant. He doesn't have any type of end story besides God using him to show his grace and compassion and calling despite Jonah's over-emotionalism, despite his mistake after mistake. And what's beautiful about the story is that God shows him that grace again and again. He doesn't smite him for the second time. He doesn't smite him for the third time. But instead, he offers him compassion and redemption using the nature around him, using the environment around him. For us, God often uses what is near us as clues to speak to us the path of redemption. It's natural where God will use. We often will make a thought prayer like, God, if this is really you, then come down on a cloud and show me. Make it abundantly clear. And it's almost like we're looking across the world for a sign right here. But for Jonah, the clues that he got were right next to him in seemingly ordinary things. His sign was a plant. Plants come and go all the time. And so maybe what you're looking for when it comes to trying to find answers or guidance, clarity, whatever it is for where you're at in your life, perhaps the answer is a lot closer than you realize. Perhaps it's right next to you on one of those encouragement cards. But perhaps it's something incredibly ordinary that God is using to show you a truth. And rather than for us, God often, he speaks to us in these ways. God's purpose for you isn't broken so easily. When you make one mistake, he doesn't just break covenant with you. His Holy Spirit, his covenant that he paid with the blood of Jesus, is more, is stronger than the little mistakes that you make. Consider for Peter that he blatantly denied Jesus Christ of even knowing him three times in one night. And was it not Jesus who said, if you deny me here on earth, I'll deny you in heaven? And yet Peter denies him three times, and yet there is redemption for him in that story. For you, there's redemption no matter what it is in your story, no matter how lost you feel, there's redemption available. And rather than disqualifying yourself from the path that you were on before your mistake, consider that God can even use your mistake to bring greater glory to His purposes originally that He called you to through His grace. Consider that the greatest quality for Jonah is also the part of him that gets him into trouble time and time again, and that is the fact that he is genuine. He's incredibly genuine, and he says what he feels. God loves a transparent and genuine heart. And even when our heart has the ugly side, like all of us do, Jonah says the quiet part out loud. He doesn't have any pretend prayers, but he's real in his talk to God. And that genuineness that seemingly gets him in trouble is also his greatest strength. He wears his heart on his sleeve, but it's what made him originally, even though it's what made him originally run from his calling, and it's what made his prayer, but it's also what made his prayer in the fish so special. As long as you go to God with a genuine heart, God can breathe light into even the darkest of situations. And he's able to help you find yourself after being lost. But it still requires us to have that conversation with him. Whether it's in the fish or on the boat or on the land, we need to have that conversation with God. And to have that conversation, what it beckons is a genuine and transparent heart. Don't just say this pretty pretend prayer to God, but share your real and raw heart, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I guarantee you that that prayer will be that much more meaningful to your journey if it's from a transparent heart as you talk to God. Y'all feel what I'm saying? With that being said, I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want you to consider where you're at in your walk with God and your walk. And if you're here with every head bowed and eye closed, and what you're most considering is perhaps that the relationship with God Himself. You feel your heart burdened just with that connection. You can't even focus on your purpose or your calling because you feel like there's this wedge between you and your Creator. And perhaps, if that is you, if you've never made a clear decision to put your trust in Jesus, and you're realizing that that's what you need to do today. Or maybe you made that kind of decision a long time ago, but there's this thing eating at your heart, making you realize that you need to make that decision fresh today. If that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. I see your hands. So now right there to yourself, I want you to have your conversation with God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is who He says He is, surely you shall be saved. What it's saying is if you have a genuine heart and just simply talk to Him. Talk to Him yourself. Acknowledge who He is, the Son of God that died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's all it takes to start this journey with Him, to renew this relationship with Him. You don't need me to lead you through a pretty prayer. You can talk to Him yourself. Now, while they're doing that, for the rest of you here, if you feel like this message was just for you today, you feel like the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage you, like God is trying to tell you something, that this was for you, if I want you to raise your hand. I see your hands. So now I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you finish what you started in these people's lives. I pray that you would cause them to experience the presence of God fresh, that you'd affirm them with your Spirit, and that you'd give them clarity in the name of Jesus. You are able, Lord, to pick them up from this moment and plant their feet on solid ground. And so I pray, Lord, that you finish what you started in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being a part of the Gravetop Church online community. I hope that today's message inspired you and that it made a difference in your life. If you'd like to connect with our church or if you'd like to donate towards our mission, all you have to do is go to gravetopchurch.com and find the Ways to Connect tab or the Donate tab. Either way, I'm so grateful for you being a part of today. Until next time, have a great life.